Amen. So let's go to the book, Acts chapter 4 and 1 verse, verse 20 that you all are extremely familiar with. And I just want to be before you just a little bit. Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 4. I said, what did I say? No, I didn't. I said 8. Acts chapter 4, verse 20 simply says this. It says, we cannot. Somebody say, we cannot. But speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's Jesus. That's filled with Christ. That's under the persuasion of the Spirit of God. Let's go before God and pray. Father, thank you this morning for the grace of Christ. Thank you this morning for the presence of Jesus that we've sensed throughout this service. God, we thank you that you have a church in the earth that loves you. We love your breath. We love your presence. We thank you this morning that we are a church that's still impressed with Christ. And this morning, Lord God, we pray that there would be such a demonstration of the Spirit of God, that there would be a reminder of the influence that we've been called to live under. And pray, Father, that we ourselves, there would be a cannot in us, a cannot comply to the systems of this world, to the silencing of the enemy in which he craves so desperately to shut the church's mouth. But Lord, we've been called to declare the gospel's truth. And so we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would minister to my heart. Pray, Father, that you would consume me. I pray that I would say what Jesus wants me to say. I pray that I would humble myself under the mighty hand of Jesus and allow his life to flow through my heart, because, Lord, you're the best thing for us this morning. And you want to love on us. You want to breathe upon us. You want to encourage us. You want to give us boldness, Lord God, to stand in the face of the enemy and to declare, not to express an opinion, but to declare the absolute truth of the gospel of Jesus, so that men and women would come to faith in Jesus. We bless you today, we honor you today, and we love you today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. We have been called by the grace of God to say something. We've been called by the grace of God. Jesus has a church, the ecclesia, those that have been called out, those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those who have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. That would be you, a people that are called by God to walk in grace, to walk in mercy, and to declare the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world system today that says that there is no absolutes, that everything is just a mere opinion. Well, we today don't have an opinion. We have an absolute truth by which we declare the goodness and the mercies of God. Why do we have an absolute truth? We have an absolute truth because there's a God through the precious blood of his Son and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as he said in the book of John, that I will take those things which is Christ and I'll show them unto you. I'll make them real to you. I will bring you into the reality of what God is and what God is saying and what God wants to do and how God wants to move in the earth and in the world of our day. When we come into the revelation of the truth of God's grace, we don't reason from the basis of a lie. We reason through the basis of a truth. That's why the world is so twisted and thrown off today, because the enemy has them reasoning through basis of lies. But we are called to reason through the power of the truth of the gospel of Jesus, the very thing that brings liberation to men's lives and liberations to people's soul. And that's why we're not called to be great debaters, more so than being a great declarers of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be able to declare those things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and allow people that don't know Jesus to hear of God's message and God begin to move through their hearts and move through their life to convince them that God is of a truth and he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our living. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of the fruits of our lips. We are the people that God has called put something on the inside of us, and it should be bleeding from the inside of us. Paul said it this way: I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. That is the key, right there. Not just merely being convicted, because convictions come and convictions go. But when you are persuaded of this great gospel of Jesus that flows from the inside of us, we know that whatever God is speaking to us and whether God has commanded of us, we declare those things without reservation, without hesitation, without insecurities, but with an absoluteness in our heart that if God be for us, then there is no one and nothing that can be what against us. Come on, church. Of the living God. This is, the Bible is extremely clear. We are the people that have something to say for real. We listen to politicians and they gauge everything they say on the basis of what the people want. We don't care what the people want. We want what God wants, and we say what God says, and we go where God tells us to go. This is the only thing that we've been commissioned to do by the grace of God. But we do have something to say. And as Peter and John find themselves in the most difficult places of their life, they didn't shrink back, they didn't fall back, they didn't cower out, but they stood up in the midst of a devil and said, I can't help nothing but say what God told me for to say. And I pray that that's still a church today, the ecclesia today. It is, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and God is still moving today in the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ought to be a people today that stand in front of powers that be and say, this is who I am. It's not what I do, is who I am. As being is who I am, I can't help but be this. I was talking with my neighbor one day. I was walking with my neighbor. We walked for like 10 years. And he's not a Christian. He thinks he's a Christian, but he's far, far, far from being a Christian. So he told me, he said, you know, Shed, I think you're, my wife told me that. She says, you know, Shed, you're trying to get me saved. And I didn't disagree with him because I am. And so he says his wife was trying to give him some reasoning about it. He said, you know, babe, that's what he does, you know. Yeah, he, you know, that's what he does. And he said, what you think about that? You think my wife got it right? I said, yeah, your wife is wrong as all outdoors since you asked me. This is not what I do. This is who I am. I am persuaded of what I preach. I am persuaded of the mission that God has laid in my heart because Christ has made it real to me. I can't imagine myself doing nothing else other than what I do. I cannot imagine myself having a conversation and somehow in my mind not driving that conversation into what is eternal and what is Christ. In my mind, what I long for, what I crave, what I'm persuaded by is to see somebody come to Jesus. And if I'm going to see somebody come to Jesus, then we must be channels of the grace of God so that God can do what he wants to do in the world that is around us. Are you with me this morning, beloved? Are you with me this morning? We ought to be a fearless people in the name of Jesus. Let me read this and then we're going to jump into the context. Are y'all ready to take a little ride right quick? This is what the Bible says in Psalms 51 and verse 15. It says, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You open my lips. You open my mouth, and I will declare this. It is the grace of God that has to do such a thing like that. He as well said this in Psalms 107, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercies unending, enduring forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those whom the Father has delivered out of the hands of the enemy. It is God's commission that if God's been good to you, then you're to tell the story. Who else is going to accurately tell the story of the grace of God other than the people that have been recipients of the grace of God? Who better to tell the story, not from a secondhand nor third hand party, but I was there when he saved me. I saw what he did for me. I saw what he did to bring me out. And I saw the power in which brought me out. It was a mighty power, as they said and declared in Exodus, that he brought me out with a mighty and an outstretched hand. You are the ones that have the story, but there's opposition that comes with having this great gospel. that you have within your heart. And here's kind of like the context, the backdrop of our scene today. A lame man has got healed by the power of God, who sat by the gate called Beautiful every single day while the church folk was going to church. And he sat by the gate called Beautiful for 40 some odd years, almost a full life that he had lived in shame, and a full life that he had lived in great depression and beat up and slaughtered and dragged and imprisoned by the yokes of the enemy. And Peter and John one day was walking to the temple, and the Bible says that they begin to call on the name of God. The Bible says that they looked up on Jesus and they asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" They asked him how this great and glorious gospel would come to fruition in their hearts and in their life. And by the grace of God, it did just that. The lame man gets healed because it's more than just money, but it's by the power of God that the man and the lame man was healed. He was free by the grace and by the power of God's Holy Spirit, totally being set free in his life. For the first time in his life, he was made free by the power of God. And as he was made free by the power of God, hostility came upon the gospel. Hostility came upon the church. And they did their best to stop the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many of you know that if God be for you, there ain't nobody that can ever be against you? If God be for us, the church, then nobody can ever be against us, because God is of a truth to the glory of God. So the lame man is healed by the grace of God. And all of a sudden, here comes the enemy. And the enemy came in like a flood, is what the Bible basically said, that he came up on them as a flood. And as he came up on them, John and Peter spoke and proclaimed boldly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they came upon them, they began to declare of the goodness and the grace and in the mercy of God, because God was faithful and God was moving. And as they did that, the lame man was undeniably healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And Peter and John one day were going into prayer, and the lame man, by the Holy Spirit of God, pricked Peter and he pricked John, that God wanted to do something in that man's life. Let me tell you something. I thank God for a church that is mission driven, but yet a church that's people sensitive. I thank God for a church that is mission driven, but yet people sensitive. They were pricked by the grace of God, believing that God wanted to do something great in that man's life. And they knew God wanted to do that, and they perceived that he had the faith to receive. Yet at the same time, mission-driven, people-sensitive, but saints also that walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus. And saints that don't come to church to receive power, but church saints that come to church with power. A people that come to Jesus and are familiar with the grace and the power of God, simply because of the power of Jesus Christ that moves and lives. And they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus." Let me tell you something. There's some things in life that money just can't buy. There are things in life, man, that money can't do anything for you. That you desire more than anything to be liberated and to be set free by the grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They spoke the word in faith over his life, and Jesus healed him. And it caused a stir around Jerusalem, and they saw life that had been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Truly, he whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. We haven't figured this out yet. Jesus is drawn to broken people, and broken people are drawn to authenticity. They are using this man's healing
as a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. And opposition comes upon them. Now the man takes himself and he's consumed with grace because of what Christ has done for him. And he begins to leap, jump, scream, and holler. Because what else can you do when the grace of God has moved upon your life? What else can you do when Christ has came into your heart in such a phenomenal way and moved you to this great reality of the all-sufficiency of the grace of Almighty God? The man is leaping, shouting, and praising God all over Jerusalem, walking into church with an attitude of thanksgiving because of what the Lord had done for him. He had done a miracle in his life. He had moved mountains to get to this man. And he had lifted this man off of a bed of affliction. Peter and John sensed the unhealthy adoration that came their way. People of God, we can admire the wonderful gifts that God gives us. But the only person that we ought to adore is Jesus Christ himself. We admire the speaking gifts that God has laid in our midst in the body of Jesus. But the only single person in this life that deserves our adoration is Christ Jesus himself. I would rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Heaven and earth will fade away, but God said his word will never return to us void. We have one hero in the Christian faith, and his name is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, whom we ought to love, whom we ought to preach. Put the spotlight on Jesus. Jesus is the only one that is worthy of our emulation to the glory of God. And Jesus is the only worthy one. The apostles sensed what they were doing and shifted their attention to the true source of the miracle. And that was Jesus. Jesus is all in all. Jesus is the one we live and move and have our being in him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the giver of our life. He's the promoter of our faith. He is the life and he is the truth. He's the way and he's a mountain mover. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. His name is the first name that we utter in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. His name is the last name that we utter in the night. Thank you, Jesus. His name is Jesus. The only one that will ever be worthy of adoration is Jesus Christ himself, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There is no one on the face of the earth that is like Jesus. People of God, there is hostility that comes our way. Notice what the text tells us. It tells us as he was preaching the gospel, suddenly that they came upon them. And they came upon him suddenly with an effort to hinder the gospel from being spread all over the globe, simply because the gospel of Jesus was powerful. The gospel of Jesus was the answer and is the answer to the ills and to the dilemmas of mankind. This is warfare that we find ourselves in, beloved, that every time we make one step forward, it's always an enemy that's trying to hinder the momentum of the gospel of Jesus from going forward. But one thing we need to realize and understand about the enemy, he could care less about religion. He's not moved by religion, but what he is moved by is an authentic operation of the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants to move in people's life. What he is more afraid of than anything is to see the manifestations of the life of the Spirit of God operating in that heart and in that life. That man sat by the gate called Beautiful for 40 some odd years and nothing happened in his life. He was around the church folk, but nothing happened to him whatsoever. But one day, men filled with the Spirit of God came his way and was prompted by the Spirit of God to move upon him and to produce a miracle of redemption in his life and in his heart. And that man began to move, dance, shout, scream, and holler because of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about warfare will always be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will always find ourselves in great battles. But I want you to understand something. If the Lord be for you and I, there ain't not one single person person that can be against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above every single thing that you and I could ever ask or you and I could ever think. There is warfare in the kingdom of God, and the devil is playing for keeps. But God, our God, he is also playing for keeps. He comes in not for to play games, but he comes in for to take dominion. Every single thing that God wants to do in that life and everything God wants to do in that heart, he wants to do it by the grace of God through dominion and power by the grace of God. He's the source of absolutely everything that's taking place in that heart and in that life. But there is warfare that is taking place in the kingdom of God. And you and I are part of that warfare that God is calling forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Are you with me this morning? They came upon him mightily with one purpose: to stop it, to stop the spread of the gospel, to stop the influence of the gospel is how they came at him for that purpose, to weaken the gospel of Jesus. There is warfare in the kingdom of heaven. And church, by the grace of God, the devil has never cared about religion. He's the author of religion. What he really wants to see, and what drew him and what smoked him out, was an authentic operation of the Spirit. The devil doesn't want people to be changed. He doesn't want people to be transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus. He doesn't want marriages to make it. He doesn't want your children to get off drugs and alcohol. That ain't what he wants. What the devil wants more than anything is for us to stay right in these isolated places, in these dead places that we find ourselves in. What he desires more than anything is for us to gain momentum in the kingdom of the awesome God that we serve, that we love, and that we honor. What the devil wants more than anything is to keep people on drugs. What the devil wants more than anything is to see death occur. But what Jesus has come to do is to give us life, and to give us life to the full. What he wants more than anything is for us to be set free by the grace of God. And this man had never known freedom like he experienced that day. You remember the day you got saved? You remember the day that Jesus came into your heart? You remember the day Jesus came into your life? You had never known freedom to that degree. Because he whom the Son has set free truly is. He's free indeed. And he'll never know bondage again by the grace of Almighty God. So when we look in the text this morning, the enemy doesn't want us to be free. Because the reality of it is, our freedom affirms the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That something really did happen and something really did transpire in that heart and in that life. There really was a transformation that took place in that life and that took place in that heart. It's faith in Christ, church, that brings us to this altar of brokenness, to where the Holy Spirit is able to bring liberation to our hearts and to our lives. Nobody's mad but Satan, because he hates manifestations of the Spirit. For the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. A life being genuinely changed by the power of God. A life that depends, that deepens their trust in Jesus, is what Satan desires more than anything to stop. That manifestation was an affirmation that there was a powerful source behind what they preach. And when the enemy does come in like a flood, it's God that lifts up a standard against him. Amen. He really is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. They come upon him. Spiritual warfare. And the scripture said that nevertheless, 5,000 people still ended up getting saved. I love the word nevertheless, because it just simply says anyway, anyhow, moving on. See, it's more appealing to talk about the gospel than it is to talk about the spiritual warfare and problems that we have in our life. When God is doing something wonderful in your life, wouldn't you much rather proclaim and speak clear and loud about all that Christ has done for you? He's moved in our life. He's brought us through tars and dangers. He's brought us through broken places. He's enriched us with his love and with his grace. It is Jesus himself only that we ought to proclaim, promote by his eternal love and by his eternal power. He's the one. Are you with me? There's this warfare that takes place, but they didn't get hung up right there. Some got saved, some hated it. But 5,000 people gave their life to the Lord. And after those 5,000 people gave their life to the Lord, the Bible was clear that as they gave their life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to move in a profound way in their life. And the name of Jesus became very exalted in their life because God wants people to come to faith in him. He wants people to know him for real. He wants people to learn of his love and be consumed with his goodness. And they tell him about Jesus. They call him to the carpet. And this amazing thing was said that Peter, being filled with the Spirit, began to tell them who had healed this man. Now, I like that. I like that because that ain't ta-ta-ta. That wasn't speaking in tongues. That was being consumed with the life of God. I'm talking about when you're standing in difficult places, when you're standing in places that you know this is bigger than you. They were not ignorant to the devices of Satan. They knew exactly who they were standing in front of. This was the same crew that had killed Jesus 2 months earlier. Same group of people, so they understood their potential. They were not ignorant. They were not, you know, you got young Christians, you can sick them loose on anybody. They don't even think about the consequences of it. This is not that. These are men that understand the potential of the devices of the enemy. And they know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the consequences could be death to them. And they ask him, by what source did this man get healed? And they stood up without hesitation or reservation under the boldness of the Spirit because they were filled with the Spirit. You want to know how you deal with life? You want to know how you deal with the issues and the pressures of life? When things come along that appear to be bigger than you, you must be filled with the Spirit. There is a place for tongues. But this ain't what that's talking about. You can't walk around all day, ta, 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 ta. You got to go deal with real life. And in dealing with real life, you see how to deal with real life. And how to deal with real life is to be under the influence of the Spirit of the living God. I remember on my job years ago, I was a welder, and I was having Bible study, and the Bible study was growing, so I hurried up and ate my food and threw the trash in my bucket. Well, when I did that, there was another guy that came to the service, and I hurried up and I gave him my bucket, and I grabbed somebody else's bucket. And so when lunch was over, the guy comes and said, "Did you put this trash in my bucket?" I said, "Oh, man." I said, "I did. This dude got to cussing me. Boy, he was cutting loose on me." There was nothing. Now, you got to understand the supernatural power of that. I came from that world. I came from a world of anger. I came from a world of, I could have made him prove he was capable of doing all that stuff he was saying. I'm not saying that in a funny way. I'm just giving you a look into what my life used to be. And he's cussing me and he's walking off. And I'm just walking behind him. And I'm walking behind him and I'm saying, "Man, I'm sorry. I wouldn't handle you like that, I promise you." So I put my hand on him. "Get your hands off me." Boop, 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 boop. He was cutting loose, man. And I just kept walking behind him. And he says, "You saw him coming down," because the Bible says a soft answer turns away a hard rap. I saw him coming down. And he said, "You didn't try to do it?" I said, "I promise you, man, I wouldn't handle you like that. I'm sorry. It was a mistake." He said, "All right, I believe you." And then I turned around and I said, "Now, Jesus, I claim him for the kingdom of God." Yes. Now, amen. The next day, guess where he was at? He's in that Bible study. Point. If I wouldn't have been filled with the Spirit, there's no way. Bible say what is flesh is flesh. And what is spirit is spirit. See, we have daily life that we have to deal with. We have real life issues that we have to deal with. And the way we deal with real life issues is such as Peter and John to be filled. This is bigger than them. This is a potential death sentence to them. But they don't shrink, neither do they waver. But they stand up in the face of the opposition and said, "Let me tell you a story, that it is Christ who has set this man free. A Christ that you unjustly killed." You see, the gospel must indict first before the good news can be presented. And he told him of the good news of the gospel, but they couldn't do anything about it. So they summoned them back to themselves and simply said this: "Look, we can't deny that a notable thing has been done to this man. But just so that this spread no further, shut your mouth and don't you say nothing else about this man named Jesus." And they just simply said, "Bro, I'm telling you, as soon as we get out of here, I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to declare him even more so. Because this is not an opinion that we are declaring. This is a commission. We are persuaded that it is Christ that has the power to change people's lives. We believe that it is Christ that has the power to mend a broken heart. This is what we, the church, are persuaded about this. This is deeper than just a mere conviction of ours. We have been called by him to lift his name high, 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 not caring who likes it and who does not like it. But this is the call and the mission of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, are you with me?
Yes.
This morning, there's warfare. There's the shutting up of the gospel. But then there's courage that we stand in boldness under the inspiration of the Spirit. Even as Paul in Acts chapter 13 bought Jesus. But Jesus was an opponent of Jesus. He hated gospel. He was a consumer of darkness. He was, the basis of his life and ministry was a lie. He kept people under the bondages until Holy Ghost filled men walked into that place and exposed what was contrary in that region. Church, we need people that walk in the light of the gospel of grace. We need people that are effective in the kingdom of God. Paul looked at him with eyes as he was discerning. You're of the devil. And he said it again, that Paul, being full of the Holy Ghost, said to him, "You're going to be blind not many days from here for a season." Now, he could have blinded him for the rest of his life. But maybe Paul had mercy because he remembered when he was blind. Come on, somebody. Remember when he was blind. You remember? You know how you judge people? Through self-observation. You don't judge people without you in view. The scriptures are very plain that says, take the beam out of your eye before you take the mote out of somebody else's eye. I used to work with a guy. One day he came to me at work and he said, "You know," I don't know what made him think I wanted to hear it, but he said, "You know, I think when you do prison ministry," I said, "I do." He said, "I think that when they find them guilty, they ought to just kill them." I said, "You do, don't you?" I said, "Can I tell you something about that law you just made for somebody merciless and
don't care nothing about what you just said with no love at all mixed into it. I just want me to tell you what's going to happen in that. Your mama going to fall prey to it. Your daddy going to fall prey to that law. Because when your mama or your daddy or your children go out there and kill somebody by accident based on the law you just deemed for them, then they fall up under that same judgment. You see, before we judge people, we should relate to people. You know, everybody knows Elder Kenny at our church. Elder Kenny's whole family just look alike. They all got strong genes. And when you're looking at Kenny, you're looking at all his siblings. And I told our church this one day, I said, you know, wouldn't it be amazing? Like, we could look at all Kenny's siblings and say, man, they look just alike. You can see they're kin. Wouldn't it be a sweet thing if we saw humanity in the same way? Wouldn't it be amazing if we saw, be able to look at each other and relate to each other, the struggles, the issues, the pain that we go through in life, the depression, all the things that we face in this life? Wouldn't it be amazing if we looked at each other's life and be able to say, I relate to you. I may not know what it is to be raped, but I know what it is to be violated in some sense. They produce the same thing. You understand what I'm saying to you? I may not know what it is to whatever, but I know it may produce the same emotions. And because of that, I relate to you in that regard. And our solution is going to always be the same. And that's going to be Jesus. See, that's the way a life is impacted. A life is impacted, for one, by the life of Christ living on the inside of us. Who the Bible said that he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. How do you save people and get people saved if you're judging them? How do you get people saved if you're looking at them with a side eye and talking about, man, you drank too much? Yeah, you did too. You lie a lot. Yeah, didn't you too? We came from this world, but for the grace and the power of God that now lives, moves, and operates in the depths of our soul. We've been called by the Spirit. We deal with warfare. But we also have a heart that is passionate and a heart that's tender toward people that are hurting and people that are broken. And for 40 years of this man's life, he was broken. And everybody knew he was broken. Just like you and just like me, we are broken people. But by the grace of God, we are broken people that apart from the grace of God, we've got nothing. But with the grace of God, we have all things that pertain to life and that pertain to what? Godliness in Christ Jesus. The man is healed, and they want an explanation behind what caused his healing. And they told him it was Jesus that had healed this man. And they told him, shut up and don't ever talk about this anymore, because Jesus is a problem to the world around us. You can talk about anybody else other than Jesus. You can talk about a dead Muhammad. You can talk about a dead Joseph Smith. You can talk about all these dead folk. But this one man by the name of Jesus, who Satan thought that he had taken out and had killed him, but God, through the power of his Spirit, raised him up on the third day. And he is now seated in glory by the right hand of the Father, and has given his life. Has given his life to a people that he has called out by his grace and put his Spirit on the inside of you. You are not empty people. You are people that filled with the life of the Spirit of God. You are not a people that are castaways, but you're people that are valued by the power of God and marked by the grace of God. But may God give his church courage in the hour in which we live, to which everything is opposed to Jesus. The world is filled with opinions, but we are the people of God that have an answer to the world that is around us, that Jesus Christ is the answer for all brokenness. He's the answer for all sickness. He's the answer for all diseases. He's the answer for everything. He is all in all. We are of that persuasion. We are of that family. We are from those people. We are the ones that are called to declare the truth of the gospel of Jesus and not shrink back not one iota from this great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give his church power in this hour. May God give to his church boldness in this hour. I'm
talking about people when you're standing in front of stuff that's bigger than you and you know it's bigger than you. But you don't shrink back, because the one who's living on the inside of you is a mountain mover. The one that's living on the inside of you is one that opens doors and opens Red Seas. And you've seen him do it by the grace of God. And because you've seen him do it by the grace of God, you can't help but tell it. You got something to say. You know, some of us used to be dancers. You don't dance no more. Some of us used to shout and scream, but you done got mild. You barely clap now. You barely say hallelujah. You barely say thank you, Jesus. Why? What happened to you? What happened that you lost your excitement? What happened that you possibly may lost your first love for this great God and this great Savior? You ought to still be impressed with Jesus. You ought to still be excited about Jesus. This is the thing about living for God. It's not just this one-time event that you experience God, then you go back to your seat and you say you're a Christian for the rest of your life and you remind people that I'm a Christian. No, this is a constant renewing. This is a constant refilling. This is a constant expression of the Spirit living in that life and living in that heart. I'm talking about we should be experiencing the overflow of the grace of God on a daily basis, because we have union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when circumstances and situations and complexities come our way, we don't shrink back, but we come to Jesus with a boldness in our heart and stand in the midst of the opposition and the hostility that we're standing in front of and understand the consequences that could possibly happen to us and say, you know what? This just going to be the hill that I'm going to die on this one. But I know for God I live, and for one day, God, I'm going to die. And I'm not going to shrink back from nothing that the devil has to throw at me. The gospel of Jesus needs your testimony. The Bible says that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Jesus does the saving, but you are called to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus. And maybe there's a little bit more depth that we need to be taking upon in our life. Maybe we need to die to some things in our life that's stifling and hindering us from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus with great boldness and with depth of conviction in our hearts and in our life. You are the people. There is no one else that is coming other than what we already have. And you are the ones that to be witnesses of the glory and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and say about God's goodness. Declare the goodness of Almighty God. Have something in your heart that says, I'm not going to shut my mouth. I tell you, I was on my job and they had a radio out there. And whatever they did, I just followed suit. So they got their radio on, they playing ungodly music. Boop, 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 boop. I said, all right, I got something for that. I'll see y'all in the morning. I brought my radio, that radio about that big. Oh, I was bumping. I mean, I was drowning them out. And they wanted to say something so bad. But I said, y'all started this. I'm not ashamed of this great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to proclaim it every single place that I go. I want everybody around me to know he loves Jesus. He's not ashamed of Jesus. And I will never be ashamed of Jesus, because there are people that are dying and people that are going to hell. And people of God, we cannot be a silenced people whatsoever. We're to be a people that got something to say. You got something to say. And we cannot shrink back nor. Say something. Say something. Say it again. Man, we used to shout. You told Jesus, if you heal me from this, God, I'm going to serve you. He healed you. You ain't holding up your end of the deal. You told Jesus, if you put my marriage back together, I'm going to serve you, Lord. He did just that. Because if you ask, you'll receive. And you knocked, and the door was open, and you asked, and it was given. But now, because of the circumstances of life, You're just an, man, I'm just casual. People don't get saved with casual relationship with Christ. My son told me this when he was young. He said, "Dad, I just won't be a kid." I knew what he was saying. What he was saying was, I don't want all that promoting of Jesus. I don't want to be outspoken to that degree. And it actually crushed my heart when he told me that. My wife and I was coming from somewhere, and God just was dealing with me about this kid. I went in my prayer closet, and the moment I went in my prayer closet, God told me to give him to me. You know how many times I gave that boy to Jesus? I give him to Jesus a bunch of times, but I take him back. But it was different this time. When the Spirit of God told me to give him to me, I gave him. I gave him to Jesus. But you know how I know I gave him to Jesus? I didn't worry about him no more. Yeah. That dude had he had his room locked, bars. He ain't letting me in. Like, it just was all locked up. And it crushed me. But when Jesus told me to give him to him, I gave him to Jesus. He would be sitting on my truck. One day I came outside. He's sitting on my truck. And he said, "Dad, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "Man, why is it so hard to stay here?" I said, "Well, son, the house got a flow to it. The house going this way. You trying to go this way." I answered his question. I got in my truck and I left. Now, in my past, he would have said that, and you know what I'd do? I'd try to dig and manipulate and pry and pry. I answered his question. I got in my truck and I left because God was dealing with him. I left him to God. All of a sudden, this boy gets radically saved. That's amazing. Radically saved. He's our youth pastor. He's running for Jesus. He's on fire for Jesus. He's married and loves his wife and loves his family. Nobody gets saved with us being reserved and forgetting of the goodness of God that came our way. There are co-workers that you work with. All they wait on is for you to say something. There's marriages that are broke to pieces. All them people wait on is for you to say something. You got kids? Parents, you ever feel tempted like, I don't want to tell my kid anything. I don't want to rub him the wrong way. I don't want to come at him the wrong way. They need you sometime to just come at them. But sometimes you're always shrinking back. I just don't want frustrated stuff. He's already frustrated. You feel what I'm talking about? It's already frustrated. Sometimes you just got to stand in boldness. And thus says the Lord, declare what needs to be declared and not leave it open for opinions. This is what it is. This is what it's going to be. This is what God has called us to be. This is what God has called us to do. And we stand in the grace of God to do what God called us to do, so that Jesus and Jesus alone may be glorified. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 How can I not say something? I've seen him heal my body. Last year, I was dealing with a low blood count. And I dealt with it for a while. I don't know what that is. I'm totally ignorant. I'm a fairly healthy dude. Don't know nothing. So my doctor says, "I'm going to send you to a hematologist." I'm so ignorant, I don't even know what a hematologist is. Oncologist, I don't know what it is. It's just not the world I live in. So I didn't realize what it was until I got there, because I saw a big sign said cancer. So I got to talking to God. I said, "Okay, Lord, you got to do something. I don't know what's up with this here." So I get to the doctor, and he says, your blood count's a little low. He says, "So we're going to take some blood, and if somehow the count's, you know, if it's just one number off or so, we won't worry about it. But if it's a little further than that, then we'll do, you know, like a bone marrow." "No, doc, you ain't getting no bone from now one of my, you ain't getting no marrow from now one of my bones." So he laughed and she says, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor." So he starts talking. So he's talking, but I know he's trying to distract me. And I just reassured him, Doc, you're not getting no marrow from none of my bones. So he says, let's look at the lab work. He grabs the lab work and he says, huh, your blood count is perfectly normal. I had to say something. I had to say something. I had to tell of his goodness. I had to tell of God's mercy. You're the only ones that have witnessed the supernatural power and presence of Jesus in operation. Do you realize miracles are not uncommon in the kingdom of God? We just don't talk much. We just don't say much. We're more prone to tell bad news than we are good news. You mess around and ask one person one thing. How you doing? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my dog bit me. I'm like, man. Guys, Jesus stripped the enemy of absolutely everything that he possesses. I worked with a dude one day, and he was talking to me about his broken marriage. And so we're talking. And so meeting was over. So he said, Reb, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, what's up? So he said, Reb, she left me yesterday. She said, Reb, she took the pictures off the wall. She took all the furniture out the house. She took everything. And he said, that wasn't even the dirty part. He said, she took all the flowers out the flower bed. Now, I had to restrain myself from laughing at that one. Because the point was, she stripped him. She stripped him, but she didn't leave him hopeless. Jesus stripped Satan of every ounce of power that he has to the point to where only thing he's left with is a threat. The only thing that he can do is threaten you. Threaten you through life scenarios. Threaten you through life situations. The only thing he is left with is a threat. He's like a dog that don't have no teeth. Pit bull. Might I add. Pit bull. Nobody trusts a pit bull. But a pit bull with no teeth in his mouth. And oftentimes it's like these circumstances that come our way. And they produce fear in us to the point to where we find ourselves reserved. And you know who you serve. You know he said he'll never leave you. Nor will he ever forsake you. You know he the one that said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard against him. You know he said you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that gives to you the strength. You're the one that knows that God will not give into you a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. That's what you know. That's what you've experienced. You have experienced the healing power of Jesus, and you are to say something about that. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter about what you're going through. What is the most truest thing about you is what God has declared over your life. The most soundest thing about you is not just soulishly how you feel from day to day, from situation to situation. The truest thing about you is you are a born-again believer in Jesus. You are in union with Christ Jesus. And what God has declared over your life is who you are, that's what you will be, and that's what you will do. We are who we are because this is what God said about us. We will do everything God said we're going to do because that's what God said about us. We can do nothing but declare of the goodness and the praises of the God that we serve, who could never fail us, who could never leave us, nor who could ever forsake us. The God that you serve is consistent. He's consuming in his love and abounding in the graces of his love for you. He is rich in his mercy and he is so powerful in his might. He is your all in all. How can you not say something about him? Say it again in the name of Jesus. It don't matter where you came from. It don't matter what you're going through, but say it again in the name of Jesus. Yes, you might be riddled in your body with some form of sickness, but stand up on that which is the truest thing about you and say, though he slay me, yet I'm still going to trust the God that I serve. I'm I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to fold. Neither am I going to shrink. But I'm going to stand in the faith of Almighty God, because his word is true and it will never fade away. His word is so and it will not fade away. Come on, somebody. He is faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is mighty. And our God, he is just. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed. 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 Blessed be his name. Blessed. Come on, say something. Say something. Thank you, Jesus. Say something. Praise the Lord. Say something. Lift your voices to the Jesus. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. Say it again. Say it again. Say something. Don't let the devil stop you from praising God. Don't let the devil tell you it ain't gonna happen. Don't let the devil tell you God done forsook you. Don't let the devil tell you gonna die in that state. You in Jesus. You in Jesus. Don't you let a devil tell you. He's worthy. He's worthy. Father, today we thank you. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for the ministry of the Spirit. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that the weapons may form, but they will not prosper. We thank you that, Lord, you...